And now, more civil societies, hearing ideas for real change.
Hi, my name's Julie Macken. Look, when I read the newspapers in the morning, I am getting an increasingly strong sense that our country is divided into at least two parallel groups or universes. The first is the community, and that's structured in all sorts of different ways. And the second universe is peopled by politicians and multinationals, and they certainly see life very differently from where they are. A couple of examples from yesterday's media. This is from The Guardian. More than 75% of voters in Malcolm Turnbull's Sydney electorate of Wentworth would support reviewing the environmental approvals for the controversial Queensland Adani coal mine, according to a new poll. A Reachtel poll survey of 676 residents in the Prime Minister's electorate, commissioned by the progressive think tank The Australian Institute, found an emphatic majority favoured a review of the proposed coal mine, including 70% of Liberal voters. Even geographically closer to the project in Queensland, the marginal Liberal-held electorate of Brisbane, nearly 60% of a sample of 747 voters supported a review of Adani's environmental approvals, and that included 48% of LNP voters. Voters in both the Liberal-held electorates were also asked a question about the future of coal, including whether mining and burning coal made the symptoms of global warming worse. A majority of Turnbull's electorate, nearly 65%, agreed with the statement that Australia must halt the expansion of coal mining and fast-track building wind and solar power and storage in order to effectively reduce the worsening impacts of climate change. 54.2% of those folks were Liberal voters. So the community is saying, at a rate of 70%, review Adani and do something very serious about combating climate change. And the Prime Minister is saying no to both. The second story that caught my eye was this from the ABC, and I'm sure you've already heard about it and read about it. An asylum seeker couple and their two Australian-born children were taken from their central Queensland home and flown to Melbourne and put into detention late last week. Australian Border Force officers, police and Serco guards visited a Bilawila home at dawn last week, taking the husband and wife from Sri Lanka and their two little kids into detention, despite the fact that their bridging visa had expired just the day before. And by the way, folks, this raid happened at 5 a.m. So they'd given them exactly 5 hours between the expiration of their visa and raiding them. I wonder if Border Force would be so prompt when it comes to raiding the huge number of overstays from the US, the EU and the UK. Anyway, a spokesperson for Border Force said they have consistently been found not to meet Australia's obligations for protection. Bilawila residents have taken to social media to support the family, with one saying, "I'm from Bilawila and know this family and I'm so embarrassed by the Australian government. They didn't just turn up here last month. They've been part of our community for years. Let them come home." Another person says, "This family is part of our wonderful community and they are such lovely people. This should not be happening. They're in my thoughts and prayers. Here's hoping they're able to return back here where they belong." The final story is so simple in its devastating consequence that it beggars belief. The New South Wales government took almost a year to begin legal action against a huge irrigator on the Barwon-Darling River after being alerted about water extraction that put Broken Hill's entire water supply at risk. The EDO, that's the Environmental Defenders Office of New South Wales, told Water New South Wales in April 2017 that this family had allegedly taken about 7 billion litres during the 2014, 15 and 16 water years without authority. Now, let's be clear, they took, allegedly, so much water that would fill 2,000 Olympic-sized swimming pools. And all of this came 3 months before ABC's Four Corners aired allegations of water theft. It wasn't until last week that Water New South Wales finally brought a prosecution against his family, alleging water extraction when flow conditions did not permit it. The family in question said last week, "This was the first time Water New South Wales had raised the matter with us." Water New South Wales' poor enforcement record will be highlighted further in June. And just last week, the Ombudsman tabled a corrective report. This beggars belief. It makes me so angry. Highlighting that compliance figures given to it by Water New South Wales had been wrong. Instead of the 170 penalty infringement notices or prosecutions in 6 months from July 2020 2016, there were in fact none. So in just one day, we have the Prime Minister ignoring his own electorate in order to give the Adani family a $1 billion leg up to build a coal mine. We have an increasingly sinister and ever-incompetent border force dragging kids and families out to deport them back to danger largely based on the colour of their skin. And let's not kid ourselves that they would treat US backpackers in the same way they treated this little family. And we've got the watchdog asleep on the job as those downstream contemplate life without water. This is not good enough, but it is what happens when democracy is hollowed out and remains in name only. It really is time we held the government to account, and we clearly can't wait another 3 or 4 years to do that. Look, democracies are living and dying things, and ours is in very bad health. We need to make sure the voices from all our communities are heard and carry weight. And for that, we're all responsible. Because honestly, the bad news about democracies are they need constant care. And it turns out, guys, that we are the caregivers.
More Civil Societies. Every week with Julie Macken and Eva Cox.